When it's least expected, you're elected, you're the star today. Smile, you're on Candid Camera. With the hocus pocus, you're in focus. It's your lucky day. Smile, you're on Candid Camera.
Candid Camera's 8 decades of smiles with Peter Funt will be presented at the Mahawi in Great Barrington on Friday night. Peter's stage comedy is blended with quips, and behind-the-scenes tales from the show's funniest moments. Candid Camera holds a unique place in entertainment history as the only show to have produced new episodes in each of the last 8 decades, from Alan Funt's debut in 1948 through Peter's recent run on TV Land. The stage show incorporates the best Candid Camera clips in a fast-paced romp through the decades. The topical humor is blended with audience participation and special surprises to make it a very fun evening. Peter Funt joined his dad as co-host in the 1980s, took over as host in the 90s. His syndicated newspaper column appears regularly in the Berkshire Eagle, and he'll be at the Mahawi on Friday night. It's a great pleasure to welcome Peter Funt to the roundtable this morning. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Joe. I'm fine. I'm here at my home in California, and I'm just dreaming of a white Thanksgiving. So I figured I figured I'd wait till tomorrow, because that's supposed to be the worst travel day of the year. And then I'd fly east and probably get stuck in the snow somewhere and just have a ball and see you all on Friday.
That's great. Well, we look forward to having you in town on Friday. So how did the stage show come about? How did you start doing this?
Here's the honest answer. For many years, like my dad, one of the things I've done is what they call lectures. It might be to a, you know, National Association of Teachers or some business group, and you get up there and you're supposed to say very important, deep thoughts. In fact, I look out in the audience when I do these things and I see people with a notebook and pencil trying to take notes and wind up with nothing to write, because that's just not my thing. I'm up there thinking of funny jokes and remembering some of the great moments in Candid Camera history and struggling to be professorial. So finally, last year, I decided I'm just not going to do any more of these lectures. I'm going to go to a regular theater where we really belong. I'm going to bring along the funniest, quickest, most interesting clips from our really vast library. I'm going to put together the funniest stories. I'll keep the best insights about human nature, but I'll really make it a fun evening. And gosh darn, it worked really well. We've done it around the country. And so now I'm very pleased to give it a crack in New England.
So I want to talk about the archive for a second. You talk about this vast archive. Now, obviously, the show, as I mentioned, has been going on in some form or another since the 1940s. So have you been able to really hold on to all of that show? I mean, there's a lot of programs that just have horror stories about their old tapes and film that have been lost. But you seem to have been able to hold on to quite a bit of your history.
It's really an amazing accomplishment, and almost entirely to my dad's credit. He never really had partners. He insisted on owning everything he did outright. And so myself and my family members are left with this treasure trove, and we do own it lock, stock, and smiles. And I, you know, not to be too highfalutin about this, but over these 8 decades, this might actually qualify as the largest, most comprehensive experiment in human nature ever conducted. Because we do have all this footage from the 40s right up till today. We can compare and contrast how people behave. We can trace the way what they found funny and how things worked over all this stretch of time. And it really, it's a wonderful, wonderful resource, and makes it very difficult to put together a 2-hour stage show because we have so much to choose from.
So let us talk a little bit about its origins, of how your father, the great Alan Funt, got into this in the first place.
By accident. He worked in the Army as his job, not very dangerous. His job was to record messages so the GIs could send these home to their loved ones. They were recorded on some kind of discs that they used back in the 40s. And the discs were kind of expensive, so he'd have the guys go into a recording booth and practice what they were going to say so they'd get it right. And then when they were all set, the red light would come on to indicate they were recording, and they'd do their thing. Problem is, they became tongue-tied when it was the real thing, and they were wasting a lot of these expensive discs. So my dad hit on this simple solution. He disconnected the red light. And he secretly recorded the rehearsal that these GIs did. It worked out very well. And when he got out of the Army, he thought, you know, maybe there's a show there. At first, a radio show. He never even thought about TV. This was 1946 going into 1947. And it became Candid Microphone on radio. And the very next year, 1948, switched over to Candid Camera and was the very first show ever presented on the ABC network when they signed on in 1948. And the rest, you know, is history.
Why, and I'm sure you and your father thought a lot about this, but why does it work? Why does that idea of us seeing people and them not knowing that they are on camera, and their reaction to absurd situations, why does that work for us as an audience?
I think the answer is found in your question if I say it back to you by changing one or two words. My dad was fond of quoting the poet Robert Burns, who said, "The greatest gift would be to see ourselves as others see us." Now, when you asked the question, you said, seeing other people.
Yes.
And I think the answer is seeing ourselves. It's really holding a mirror up to society. And the viewer is left to ask, how would I react in that situation? What would I do if confronted with those circumstances? And most importantly, would I be a good sport and smile about it? Because that's also part of the message in Candid Camera.
And the other really fascinating thing about Candid Camera is to see the same thing, trick. I don't know. Do you use that word, trick? Is that?
We do not. In fact, yeah. We have a very carefully chosen lexicon that over the years has separated us from our imitators. For example, people who do derivative programs use the word prank. We never do that. They call some of the people photographed victims.
Right.
We have never said the V word on our show. We call the work we do sequences, gags, stunts, and the people we catch are called subjects. Maybe that's a little too scholarly, but that's how we look at them. They're subjects caught in the act of being themselves.
So what's fascinating is that you see the same gag, if you will, played on those various subjects and how they respond differently. And that's fascinating to see. I mean, there's an awful lot of sociology and psychology to this, isn't there?
There really is. In fact, our library is used in several hundred colleges and universities around the country, in fact, around the world, in the study of sociology and psychology. Now, you know, we're not scientists and we don't have any credential. And much of what we do helps to reinforce what the experts have already found and written in textbooks. But I was just looking over my material and planning some things for this Friday, and I decided to show something I haven't shown in a while, but it's right up the alley you were pointing to. Part one is a wine tasting test. And what we've done is secretly poured four glasses of wine from the same bottle. but we label them as four different types of wine. Then we bring in wine connoisseurs to give us their feedback. Every single person ranks them in some way. This is sweeter, this is bitter, this is woody, this is smoky. But no one says, gee, these all taste the same to me.
Right.
There is a remarkable power of suggestion working there when these people think these have to be four different wines because they're labeled that way. Now, on Friday night, I'm going to compare that to something I did just a year ago in Colorado, where they've legalized marijuana, of course, one of the first states in the union to do that. So I do a very similar experiment with four different kinds of pot. And what the people sampling this don't know is in these bongs, these devices, it's just water vapor. There's no marijuana at all. All they're doing is inhaling water vapor. And some of them seem to feel so zonk, they practically fell over while they were talking to me.
Yeah.
All from the power of suggestion.
I remember when I was growing up and I first became a fan of the show, it was you, it was your father and Fannie Flagg who hosted a version. And Fannie Flagg has had a long history with that show, hasn't she?
She has. She was never actually a host. She was a writer, producer, but most importantly, a provocateur in the field. Fannie's such a sweetheart, and you know, went on to be such a successful author and commentator. But she had a great touch on Candid Camera. She could play many different roles. She could be funny without hogging the scene. That's always difficult for those of us who conduct the Candid Camera sequences because, sure, we want to say funny things occasionally and make it enjoyable, but we never want to get in the way of the unsuspecting person and our chance to observe them. Fannie just happened to have a marvelous touch for doing this, and she stayed with the show through several incarnations. So she was on in the 60s and the 70s. She worked with me a little bit in the 90s or early 2000s. So she's terrific.
At what point did you know you wanted to get involved and this would become part of your professional life? Get into the family business.
Well, my first appearance on Candid Camera was at age 3. And my dad gave me a shoeshine box, shoved me out on the corner in Midtown Manhattan and told me to try to charge $10 per shoe. I'm not exactly sure what the point was, except to see how business people might react to such an audacious young entrepreneur. But that was my start. And I worked with him and next to him on and off, I guess pretty much my entire life. I did go off at various times to do other things. I published a magazine. I worked for ABC News. I wrote for the New York Times and other papers. I practiced my degree in journalism, but it always circled back to Candid Camera. And while my dad was winding down his career in the mid to late 80s, and then after that took ill, you know, I really did have a choice to make. I'm either going to let this great show fade away, or I'm going to step up and embrace it and do it full time. And I guess by that time I had done enough other things in media that I didn't mind just being America's number two people watcher after my dad. And so I took it on, and, you know, I was very, very lucky.
Candid Camera presents at 8 Decades of Smiles with Peter Funt at the Mahawi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. It's Friday night, November 25th at 7:30. Mahawi.org for more information. Mahawi.org.
And Joe, I'll just quickly mention the following night, for those who care, will be at the Music Hall in Tarrytown, New York.
Oh, great.
And then the following week at the Ridgefield Playhouse in Connecticut. So like it or not, we've got your territory surrounded, and I hope at one venue or another the folks come out. I'm really looking forward to it. It is a lot of fun. The audiences, thank goodness, have been quite pleased. I will not be giving any lectures, but I think there's a lot of fun and insight and good times to be had. So I hope we see you and all the folks.
Peter Fun, thank you very much. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.